yeah, the Kool-Aid Man is back.
Just kidding. It's just me, the CTO, Kyle Park.
I told him don't do that.
I had another one I was in mind.
Don't do that one either.
That one would have been more fun.
No, that would have been nasty.
Although, I would have gotten comments from Lyle and Lyle.
Of course. You get comments from Kyle or Lyle and Lyle all the time.
I'm Kyle.
I know. I just got all my K's and C's.
Welcome back, Nick. How you doing?
I am alive and well. How are you?
I'm good now that it's the afternoon.
Where you been?
Sleeping in my head.
Sleeping in your head.
Yeah.
So you've been powdering your little butt off.
I've been powdering a little butt off.
What are you on, what are you on right now, color-wise?
Wait, I thought you meant drugs. Okay.
whiskey. Or scotch.
Crack cocaine.
Scotch.
No, we are on Texture Black. We are doing extension conveyors right now. And a couple of repowder parts for the truck made HD.
I have a question for you. That's cool. You just made me think of something.
Uh-oh.
I've never asked anybody this. What is your favorite part?
Ooh. To be honest, I guarantee you this. It's the gearboxes.
Really?
They come out like glass. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
They're nice.
They're a pain in the ass to wrap, though, when you don't have tape. Because we ran out of that backsided tape. Blue tape.
Oh.
So I had to run foam around it and then wrap the shit out of it. So that wasn't fun, but at least all 35 are done, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Dude. Fucking season starts this week. I start tomorrow.
Oh, I meant to ask you. It's funny we're talking about all this crap on the podcast. My yard, are you going to have me? Are you going to take care of my property?
I can take care of it.
Am I
doing the same deal we did last year?
I would assume the same thing as last year.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
You're going to talk with Sam first.
Okay.
That's the deal we did last year.
It was Sunday, and I drove by it, and I'm like, ooh.
She getting hairy.
Why is she hairy?
Yeah.
She's furry.
Yeah, man, especially the green onions.
And a lot of weeds everywhere.
Yeah.
There's weeds all over the place.
My pothole fixed?
We couldn't find it, remember?
My knee's going to hurt.
There's a hole in my backyard from the irrigation system. Here's how this goes. I used to have this 90-foot 18-wheeler in my backyard for racing. Mm-hmm. Well, when I retired from racing, sold the rig, truth be told, just needed the money, the neighbor... Okay, so here's how it goes. It was in my backyard. The guy that lived behind me, Sam, they moved away. The person that bought the house had a survey done, and a survey hadn't been done in like 25 years.
Yeah.
So, unbeknownst to us, the property lines were like way off from original. So, our tractor trailer was in their yard, and there was a whole road back there made of stone and gravel and all this. It wasn't paved, but it was huge, and the sprinkler system was over there, like... permanent things were over there.
Yeah.
So I had to move it out of the backyard, dig up the whole entire back road for the landscape company because we had sold the landscape company, got rid of all the millings, got rid of all the number twos, got rid of all the fines and all that other crap. Had to cut the irrigation system, just left it in the ground, and then put in new heads because when they were drilling the posts in for the new fence for the neighbor, not for us, they just busted all the irrigation lines. Shocker. You have 6 foot between posts, and they just nail the irrigation.
That sucks.
Yeah, so I had to dig all that up, fix it all, which I did myself, which is fine. But when I buried it, anytime you bury pipe like that, it always has like settling time, and that's where that bump came from.
Do it today, not tomorrow, Nick.
I didn't know it was there.
Just get the damn tamper.
I know. I don't have any tools left anymore. I have no, like I have.
You did sell a couple the other day too, or last year. I remember that.
Yeah, I don't have much landscaping tools. I really don't have that many.
It's funny, the house we're looking at has three sheds. I'm like considering one all the way in the back for all the landscape tools, and then the one closer towards the house for like our camping and whatever. I mean, not we go camping, but you know, like the little outdoor pool or something that we blow up for Maylin. Putting that kind of stuff in there, and then having the livable shed area because it's got full power, insulated, all that fun stuff. And I'm going to turn that hopefully into an office.
Yeah.
As well as like a loft living area because there's a loft in it, which is insane. So technically, it's a 4-bedroom with a detached bedroom.
Right.
So that'd be sweet.
That is going to be sweet.
So,
cool. I hope you get it.
I'm just saying, when we get it, it's party time, bitch.
Let's go. I'll bring some bourbon.
You'll see the backsides of my eyes.
You're going to get quiet on that.
So I told Sam, I said, Sam, just know, what happens on my birthday stays on my birthday.
Yeah,
I don't care if you tell your friends what happened, but it is not to be used as judgment against me. I am just getting hammered. I even told my mom, I was like, I want to be plastered. So I'm going to have a good time on my birthday.
Why do people do that?
I don't know. It's just a good – and honestly, I don't get blackout drunk. I just get to the point where I'm like, holy shit, I feel great.
Yeah.
And it's the one – I only do it once a year. So it's not like I do it all the time. It's like a part of my life. It's just I don't drink that much. You know that.
Well, based upon the story you just heard with Gator, you've seen and heard about the one and only time I've done that.
Yeah, and once. It's pretty much the one time that I do it a year. It's just I do a little let loose, mm-hmm. have a good time. Everybody's there. Everybody's partying. I don't even tell everybody to bring gifts. I'm just like, just bring your smiles and yourself. I don't care.
Yeah, that's much better.
That's all I want.
I was telling my stepfather Lee the other day. He came over. We were talking. And I was like, dude, I hate gifts. I just want you around.
Yeah.
I just want you to come around, like, or me come to you. Like, I don't really care how that goes, but just presence. Not presence as in physical presence, like gifts. I mean presence like your presence.
Yeah.
Whether it's a birthday, whether it's a holiday, whether it's just generally speaking, just kindness, friendliness, you know? And that's part of today's podcast.
Oh, it is.
Nice little segue there, huh?
I love it. And right. I'm working up a burp that won't move.
Oh, no. You might have to stand up.
It'll move.
Arch that back.
It'll be in the middle.
Yeah, all over your mic.
No. So creating voluntary relationships. I liked this one because I was actually listening to a podcast the other day, and it was a subject that popped up. I'm like, oh, I really like that. And the more they got to talking about it, I'm like, wow, that can go in all aspects of life, whether it's business, personal, anything. And I liked it because you initially were like, wait, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, dude, you're... The way that you have, or the way, or the reason that MulchMate is the way it is today, wow, I was tongue tied, mm-hmm. Is because of voluntary relationships. Mm-hmm. Is you don't ask for it, you know, you don't need a massive sales force. As long as you create a quality product and have pride, mm-hmm. and tie back to old episode,
plenty of that.
Have pride in your work, have pride in your product, and have pride in your people, then it's going to return tenfold.
Absolutely.
And so far, from what I've seen, at least, externally as well as internally, is it? It's at least done that.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize, like, when you had said it. I've never put a title to what I was doing.
I did.
You did,
because I have to do that.
See, I don't do. Yeah, I don't do titles real well. Like calling myself the CEO or whatever. Like, I don't really give a shit.
You're Mr. Nick Carlson.
I'm just Nick, right?
And Mr. Nicholas.
Somebody that they text me is like, "Is this Nicholas?" I'm like, "I know you don't know me."
Hey, Mr. Nick.
So. I learned this a long, long, long time ago from some very, very wealthy, well-off people. And I like to hang around who I want to be one day.
Yeah.
And I noticed what they did. And no matter where they went, some people are going to say, well, people were nice to them because they're rich, they wanted their money. True, could be.
There's a part of it, and I guess you could call it stigma.
Sure,
for that.
Sure. But it more or less, for me, I watched this for a long time as a young man, and it was always these guys would go around, and whether it was the golf course, the restaurant. Well, I just heard that gurgle.
Yeah, that was weird.
And
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. And you know, if it was a golf course, a restaurant, a vendor, their own business, place of business, let's say, friends, family, neighbors, whatever, they always treated everybody the same. It was always this bright, very positive, very uplifting, no matter what the situation was, approach.
You know, I did that a long time ago, and I picked the wrong one.
Which, what are you talking about?
I picked the wrong person to follow.
Uh-oh.
And it's very easy to get sucked into the trap, and that's kind of... I'm not going to blame it all on them because my actions were rightfully my actions, therefore I fucked up, and I know that.
Are you willing to drop a name? Or will it even matter?
It probably won't matter.
It was just a person that you were like.
It was just a person. And I had a couple of people that I'm close with. Our loan officer, he knows exactly what I'm talking about if he ever listened. But essentially, his lifestyle and the way that he created his persona, mm-hmm. gave off that he was this, you know, Empire State Building of a person when he wasn't quite that yet. And then he also... I guess you could say he embellished a lot of the things that he did.
Mm.
So now, granted, he did have the toys and he had the...
But that could be just debt. Do not let that fool you.
And that is where I went too far on my actions, is that I followed the shiny thing and that messed me up. But be aware of who you're actually following. Like, okay, here's an example I think would work for you per se. Okay, So in the neighborhood of Bashotti,
mm-hmm.
out of the people there, would you follow Bashotti or would you follow someone else there? Because there's a couple people back there that I'm not saying who they are because I don't know who they are, but there sure. are a couple people back there where they're going after material things and showing the house because they want to versus like Bashotti's worth $170 million.
I guess I'd have to know more about their credentials. I see where you're trying to go. I would tell you this. It's okay to have materialistic things.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's not.
You know, we've got, I think, what's the average lifespan now? It's like 78 to 80 years old, something like 78 to 82.
It's actually
like
receding.
That.
Did you know that?
I'm not surprised with all the pharmaceutical drugs out there that are killing people, whatever.
Yeah, I heard that statistic the other day. I thought it was interesting.
Well, you inject the whole entire society with some foreign drug, it might hurt you.
No good, Mr. George.
So either way, you know, you've got one life to live. And it's not all about materialistic things. It's not always about money. Sometimes it's a matter about time, balance, enjoyment. Like, there are certain things, dude, that you may enjoy. Okay, I know two things right out of the gate that you and I are polar opposites on. Or just different, I should say. You love boating. I have no problem with boating, but it's not my go-to.
Yeah.
I love racing or golf. Those are kind of my go-tos. Another one of my go-tos is shooting. I think you've got a good taste of that.
Yeah, that was fun.
That is amazing. And you know...
All right, stop the podcast. We're going now. I'm out.
I just took the headphones off. I'd love shooting that much. Don't get too bogged down with the people that are, you know, that have materialistic things. Now, I will say this. I think the majority of people do what you just said.
Yeah, you have to. You almost have to put bubble wrap around your ego and mm-hmm. find a way to make it work best for you because mm-hmm. it is very easy to get lost in the debt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the dump truck's payment was $9.94 a month.
It's a shit ton.
Yeah, and I wasn't even bringing quite that much. Now, first year, I was fine. Mm-hmm. When I started bringing on Zach, that's when things got worse because I ended up getting very complacent. And then I saw the money coming in. I was like, oh, this is great, but I wasn't actually producing what I needed to produce. Mm-hmm. So I saw all these shiny things, and I thought it was cool to boast the shiny things. But boasting does it even worse. It makes it your life even worse, actually.
The word I heard recently from someone I know is, oh, I'm not trying to flex.
Ah, your favorite word.
I hate that word. Ugh. It's like we were just talking a minute ago before the podcast came on. We're talking about recently a lot of our social media stuff has had what I would call a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not Mr. Beast, whatever. But we're talking, there are posts that are getting, you know, 5-digit views, which I am, dude, if we get over like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, I am happy. Like very, very happy.
And then you get like a snowmate video and you're like, okay, why does it have a 250,000?
No, it has there's some of those that have 1 million, 1.5 million. Like
yeah.
Crazy. And so the thing that Kyle brought up to everybody that's listening, he's like, well, is it you? Is it because you're in the video? Is it because you're more related? And first thing I said to him was what?
I'm so sorry. I just had a brain fart.
I told you that I don't want this to be about me.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be. I'm not looking for any of the, you know, fame of it all. I just want to see all of it successful.
Yeah, you want to see the ship rise, not you.
Well, not just me, not just you, not just this team, but Team Mulchmate,
mm-hmm.
Team Dawson Manufacturing. So like,
and it's not just us. It's everyone around us.
Yes, and it's all of our vendors. There's a guy this morning that called. He needed, I don't know what he needed. It was some bolts or something. What else was it? Oh, his tarp had a little tiny hole in it. He wanted to see if we had a patch kit. I said, yeah, we got a little tiny guy. And you can, to an extent, you can patch him.
Like a 4x4 or something?
6x6.
Okay.
If a hole's under 4x4.
Just giving reference.
Yeah.
Helping the crowd out.
There you go. That's perfect.
MulchmateUSA.com.
So originally, yeah, things like Mulchmate. Originally, this guy and I, he just was very, I'm going to use the word ignorant with me. And I basically told him, dude, I'm here to help you, and you're being a dick. And he told me on the phone today, that was a year or two ago, whatever it was. And he told me, he's like, yeah, I know in the beginning we kind of, you know, had a little bit of a run in. And I'm like, dude, I don't really care. You know, my job is to help you win.
Yeah, you shouldn't see it as a run in. It's more or less how do I help the person with my problem? Because the saying is a saying for a reason, is rising tide raises all ships. And if you're able to help them out and put – My favorite saying is let bygones be bygones.
Sure.
Like, there's no sense in holding on to baggage because baggage just pulls you down. That's why it's called baggage. Versus just getting over things and just seeing what's best in the world and trying to push forward to the positive.
Yeah. I would say this too. Be careful because some people will really hurt you and some people do need to be right out of your life.
Chloe and I had a very good conversation about that this week.
Yeah.
She is my rock on that sense of being able to sniff out people's bullshit. I always see the positive and I think it balances very well. But like I told her the other day, I'm like, sometimes I can't just sit there and listen to it. And I don't have a problem with it if she has to vent. There's a difference with venting and recognizing it and just harping on it. But once you harp on it, then you're like, okay, well, what is this doing good for us?
Right.
You know, it's not really doing us any good. We have to find what's best for us and just work towards that.
That's finding your finish line, right?
So I actually have a funny story about creating voluntary relationships. It is my high school lacrosse coach. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in ages, and I ended up going to pick up my sister yesterday. And I thought this was pretty cool because I ended up going up. I saw that the team was done, and I'm like, oh, shit, he's up there. Let me go say hi. So I turned the truck, or I parked the truck. I park like an asshole because the thing's so freaking long. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the grass. But I go down on the field, and I look at him, and I yell. And he's like, I know that voice. And he turns around and looks at me, and he goes, who that? It took him a minute, and he starts walking towards me. And he goes, holy shit, Kyle Parks. And, like, to me, that's a voluntary relationship because he could care less about what's going on around him. Saw me, talked to me for a couple of minutes. And granted, it was just a quick catch-up session. But knowing that I have a relationship like that for somebody who is rooting for me in the background, that's what I want.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's all I need. You know, it's the same thing for regular friendships. If you got a – it's like the post that I send you every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, at 3 a.m. you could call – I'll put my pants on. I'll get over there.
Thank God you put pants on.
I sleep in sweatpants. So, but no, like I would do that for you. I do it for Matt. I do it for a while. Like if something was going on and we had to bury a body, like there you go. I'll be there.
Yikes on the body with the burying. But yeah, I get your point. I do.
Yeah.
And I would too. Like there's a list of people in my head that I would do the same for. And there's other people that I'd be like, toodaloo, bitch. Like you're on your own because. I was very much just like you when I was your age, very, everything's positive. Everything's good. You know, I see the best in people. As I've grown and gotten, well, truth be told, screwed over way too many times.
You learn to understand face value.
Well, yes. And I've also learned to know that there's a demon in all of us. Mm. Every one of us, including myself, there is something in there that sometimes we have to push deeper to keep it away from the surface, if that makes any sense. No, but I love your analogy. The thing that I've been pushing really hard for is karma. You know, I have puked my guts into reaping good karma, sowing good karma, and hopefully one day getting it back. And there was a point in time in my life, I was probably 28, 29 after I broke my jaw. I was like very upset. Because I had done so much good and helped so many people and done so much work, and I wasn't getting crap back. Nothing.
Yeah.
And then one day, Multimane hit me. Now, I'm going to say that I probably just cashed in on the biggest karma that I ever probably could have, at least to date. And I think it was just a collection of really good decisions. It's kind of like luck. Luck isn't luck. Luck is where preparation meets opportunity, right? And so all those years, I was preparing and preparing and preparing and preparing to be successful, and then one day, poof.
It's a lottery ticket you had to work for.
Yeah, yeah. And even still with the lottery tickets, like, I am still working my freaking butt off, you know, trying to get this thing to go. Like, I'm working on something right now that I have seen it work on something else, and it should work for us, like, tenfold. It's going to be fun. I can't say what it is right now, but I've got somebody else that's done it already with another product. That product no longer exists. I'll tell you off air. And it exploded.
There's part of me that wants to think, no, I know what it is. I feel like you've told me a while ago, but
maybe. I don't know. It starts with a K and an R. No, you don't know? No, okay. No. Don't worry about it. I'll let you know what I'm working on. But the ball is finally in motion. I've been working on it for a month. And I finally got it moving. So that's good. But, you know, what I find is I was talking to Belmont yesterday, the guy Jonathan over at Belmont. And he's just, when I walked into that situation with Belmont, they very much thought I was nuts. And I didn't walk in there acting like I know it all. I walked in there and was like, hey.
There's places that I'm missing. How can you help me?
Yeah, you're the foremost expert here. I'm a dreamer. So just tell me what's reality. Right?
I have a dream.
Yeah. And, you know, when I went in there and took that approach, you know where I learned this approach? I learned it in racing. I went to another race shop and I bought a race car. And in the this race team does not sell race cars. I'm the only person that's ever bought one of their cars, ever. And they do it. They chop them up because they don't want anybody knowing their secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk into their race shop. Now, keep in mind, these cats have a full-blown racetrack in front of their house.
Yeah, I remember the story.
Right? So I'm literally crawling underneath this car and all this and that. And here's what I learned that day. I don't know why I took this approach, but I just took it. I tucked my tail clean between my legs and just said, look, you guys in this field are the foremost expert. I don't know the style race car. It is a different animal. Please help me. And a lot of people, when you take that approach, are willing to help you, right? When it comes to, you know, your subject matter of what we're talking about here, it's the same thing. So for years at, like, Kentucky, my guys are like, why are you trying to sell this guy when you know he's not going to buy? It's not a matter that he won't buy. It's maybe that he isn't ready to buy now.
Yeah, and then it's, oh, well, they handled me so well here. Go check them out because I feel like they could help you. And then it's just the snowball effect afterwards.
Correct. And I believe that is one of the reasons we've been so successful. It's kind of like social media. I don't look at social media as, you know, get rich quick. Oh, look, we had a post go viral, which we never have. And we've gotten millions and millions and millions of views over the years. But hi, Wiggles. Wiggles is making his little daily debut at the podcast. Hi, Bubba.
He's like, I just want the suntan.
I know. He just wants the sun. He just wants to lay in the heat. But the, you know, I look at social media as a library of consistency, a library of information where anybody can go in later on down the road and it will basically inform them to what we're doing, kind of like this podcast, and then they can then go on to take the good that we've put out there in the information data, and then they can make their world better via us.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Oh, I get it. So I mean, it's kind of how I've looked at it. I mean, if you ask Mr. Beast what YouTube is it's a library. It's a data forming library that, you know, holds information, entertainment, you name it, it's out there.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. That's all it is. And it's just, if you can somehow or another marry entertainment with value, you get yourself a freaking winning combination.
It's called Valuetainment.
Valuetainment. That's funny.
It's actually a site.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Something else I didn't know. You know, one thing I've learned over the years too, kind of in and amongst this subject, people typically only buy things in an emergency or because they feel like it.
Yeah,
because
they're that's the hard part about society these days. Everything's reactive versus being proactive.
Right. Right.
I had something the other day where I was like, I feel like I should think ahead and do this, this, and this. And I did it. And I was actually very happy that I did. I can't remember what it was because it was really good. I meant to bring it up. I'm pissed. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out.
Okay. So what I was thinking of, oh, crap, I might have just lost mine now, too.
Cause no.
We were talking about value add.
Being proactive versus reactive.
Yeah. So when I was a landscaper, what I learned, like a lot of people ask me now, they're like, how do you get these big property management jobs? Oh, it's in buying and selling me, or buying something is feeling based versus emergency based. So let me back up before I go into the landscape story. Let me go back up to where I was. So my father was a copier salesman, right? And a copier tech, and did very well for himself, provided a good life for me and for him. I'm not going to say we set any records by any means, but we had a nice life, and I'm very, very appreciative of it. And he's built a foundation for me that I can propel myself and my children, and my children are gonna have a foundation like I ain't never seen. So that's great. So something I picked up, you know, back in the day with him was when people bought copiers, it was like pulling teeth because it's not fun.
Yeah,
it's work. It's all work related. So unless it's in the budget and you kind of think about trying to buy a copier. Or going to like Office Depot and buying a printer. That is boring.
Unless it's nowadays and you're like, oh, I can pick up this little thing and plug it in and connect to my computer and now it's printing.
Yeah.
But like back in the day, it was a hassle.
It was a hassle. So one of his employees, his name is Chris, really nice guy. Still friends of his family and all that to this day. He used to move on like as a side gig. He used to move hot tubs.
Ew.
In hot, you know, it was him and two or three other guys, and they would pick up hot tubs and carry them through people's yards. And
no put them fun. In.
No, thank you. But
it's like old cast iron tubs, like the yeah. Old, yeah, that's just huge. All I think about.
Yeah, they're huge hot tubs. I mean, he would move like 12 person hot tubs.
Heavy, bulky, annoying, awkward.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No thanks. But he made plenty of money, provided for his family doing it. So I applaud him for that. But he was saying that people will spend whatever amount of money on things that they want, mm-hmm. fun stuff. So specifically,
wants have taken over needs.
Yeah, and that's a thing that I would definitely be mindful of when you're buying something or living your life or running your business. Think about it for a second, right? Is this going to inspire you to the next level, right? Or is it going to is this going to be a weight, right? Like you were talking about your dump truck and all that. Is this going to help create that sales force? Is it going to help create momentum to propel you to the next level? Or is it not? Like a lot of people say, oh, a hot tub, you know, I get to chill out at night and I get to relax and recharge and I can go back out there. Yeah, I can see your point. But the facts of the matter are a body motion stays in motion.
Yeah.
So you're better off going for a walk. It's just a physical fact.
But everybody goes, oh, I'm tired when I get home and I don't really want to go out and do that. And
we all are tired, but it doesn't stop me. Like last night, I rode a bike for 7 miles last night with my kids.
I actually told Chloe today, I was like, hey, when I get home, do you want to go for a walk or can I just take Maylin outside and we'll go play in the yard? Because
mm-hmm.
she's at the point where she'll run around and do her thing and sit in the grass and twiddle with the grass for a little bit. It's mm-hmm. adorable.
Yeah, it's a good
age. So, yeah, I told her, I was like, yeah, we're going to go home and we're going to go for a walk. And she's like, I like that idea. So,
dude, I'm telling you, I go down to Severna Park, the B&A Trail, park there by Froyo, and I just walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so peaceful. So peaceful. It's the best. So I think, you know, outside of business and selling, I think friendships, you know, if you can establish really good friendships like you have, there's a lot of value there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, as selfish as it sounds, there's a lot to get out of it, really.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're, hopefully when you're getting, you're giving, and it's just this big perpetual cycle and everybody just kind of spins upwards and higher and higher and higher because rising tide lifts all ships.
That's like with this home buying process, there's some things that I don't know, and Matt just bought a house. Well, they've had two houses, but they just got another or went into a new home, I should say. And I was asking questions about the home buying process that they went through because I feel like home buying. It's pretty much similar.
Mm-hmm.
So I just asked him, I was like, hey, what's the deal? What do we have to be looking forward to? You know, oh, I don't know what's going on with the home warranty. Is that the same as home insurance? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, get the home warranty just in case something does happen, like your air conditioner goes out or something like that. It's covered under that, mm-hmm. you know, depending upon how long it's been. He's like $600 a year versus $15,000. Mm. He's like, put that into perspective. Yeah. I was like, okay, you make the case in point. Henry, put it on the list.
Yeah.
You know, and just having that relationship where I could text him or call him at any point of day and he'll answer, or at least get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no qualms of like, oh, what do you need now?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, what can I help you with? That's all it is.
You just reminded me. So last night we're biking with my kids and my daughter's behind me. And I said, hey, baby, come here. I want to talk to you. And as I said it, I went, ooh, hold on a second. Whenever my father was like, hey, I need to talk to you.
I was like, oh, shit.
Moment. It was an oh, shit moment. Yeah. Right. You're picking up where I'm going here with this. So she pulls up next to me. I said, hey, real quick before I ask you this question, I want to know something. When I said that to you, does that make you nervous or scared? Or are you excited to hear what I have to say? Or is it just nothing? She goes, no, Dad. Every time you call me, I'm very very much ready to listen to you because you don't yell at me all the time.
It's how you create the persona. Because if you go into it and you're a very angry individual, and then that's said, that's something where your adrenaline is spiked,
right?
You know, and the only time that I had problems with that with my dad, because my grandfather was from the Bronx, but my dad got the Bronx attitude,
mm-hmm.
very short fuse, very easy to set off, and I think at the time he wasn't excited about work, so he wasn't very happy all the time. Yeah. So when I went through puberty, God, I was a raging asshole.
I think we all are.
I was a putrid raging asshole, and I prayed for my mother at the time, and I'm happy she didn't kill me, and I'm happy that my dad didn't kill me, but There was one time my mom's like, I'm calling your dad. And as soon as I heard the door shut, Kyle, I was like, oh, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's granted, it also does come down to the situation, but
yeah,
you know, those times have passed and things have gotten better. And, you know, it's not like he was an asshole of a parent. It was just that if we fucked up and my mom talked to my dad, it was, you're in a heap load of trouble, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just kind of how that was.
It's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be the mom's a gentle one, teaches, you know, gets the kids through. But if the kid crossed the line, mom just goes, I'm going to call your father.
And what's funny is I was a dad's boy. I talked to my mom a lot more because it's just that's what we do. Mm-hmm. But when it came to doing activities, I was at my dad's hip.
Really?
Everything.
That's good.
Changing oil in the cars. We replaced fuel tanks on the trucks. I mean, you name it, we did it. Brake lines, changed the water pumps on the boat. Mm-hmm. I mean, painting the boat, waxing the boat, mm-hmm. everything.
That's great.
I mean, crabbing, fishing.
Young man needs his dad. I think dads are
missing. My best friend.
Dad's missing in this world, I think. I think a lot of dads are just MIA or too busy or
well, then the divorce selfish. Rate's so high, and then it's like, okay, well, then they have another family, and then things get really rowdy after that, and it just, the nuclear family is the best for Western civilization.
It is.
And it's been shown for that.
Yeah, that's just a fact. I mean, it's not an opinion. That's just proven facts, and the world is screwing that up. But I also think a lot of people's approach, and kind of back to the subject of this whole thing, you know, we have to start to understand and start looking at things a little differently. Like what I was saying about my daughter. When I said that to my daughter, I wasn't just in my own little bubble.
Felt like you were being selfish.
Well, I very much live kind of this drone view of myself a lot. And I look down at what I'm doing and saying, and I go, hold it. How did that make her feel? Right. And then I went, ooh, catch yourself, dude. That could have triggered her into being in this anxiety state. And my whole goal in life is to keep her away from that. I'll give you another, for instance. My daughter may not listen to this for like 15 years, but I'll say this. So the other day, I took her out on daddy-daughter date night. This was like a week or two ago. And I do this every month or two. And I do it with my son, and I do it with my daughter, and I do it separately. So just me and my daughter, and I took her to Texas Roadhouse. It's one of her favorite restaurants. And when we sat,
the buns are so good.
Yeah, she loves the buns. So she
good, and I, her and I get along then.
She and I sat on the same side in this booth on the one side. So she's to my left, I'm against the wall, and there's this connection. We're always touching and, you know, hip to hip, and we're drawing together, and we're doing games together, and we're talking about things and just interacting. I was sitting behind a family the other day at a restaurant, and literally the entire dinner, they said nothing to each other. Hmm. Kids were on their phones. Mom and dad never said a word to each other. I'm like, dude, that's...
I hate when that happens.
As a man, I want to turn around and be like, dude, you're losing your family. Like, talk to them about something. Like, interact. Be one with each other. So my daughter and I eat dinner. It's wonderful. We ordered an 8-ounce filet, medium rare, baked potato for me. She wants some French fries. She loves A1 sauce. It's great, right?
I used to eat that all the time. I now have no taste for it.
Yeah, you kind of overdid it, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens. I did that with Reese cups at one point.
Ooh, yeah, that'll talk back quick.
Uh huh. So when we got done, she's like, "Dad, I need to go to the bathroom." I'm like, "Can you not wait till we go home? Because the bathrooms in Texas Roadhouse are never
in any public restroom."
Yeah, I just really want to avoid it if I can.
Yeah.
And she's like, "No, I need to go now."
I'm like, I drank way too much soda.
Yeah, she loves sweet tea.
That's my problem.
Yeah. So we go to the bathroom, and I stand outside the lady's door, and she goes in, and you know, my daughter's almost 8 years old, so she's got herself taken good care of, and we're very, very much a clean family. We, you know, we take our shoes off when we go into the house. We, you know, when we go to restaurants, she'll put down, like, I swear to God, like 10 pounds of toilet paper, and she sits on it, and that's great. And, you know, we just are a very, very clean family. And she does her business. She washes her hands. She comes straight out of the bathroom, puts her hands on my face. She goes, "Dad, smell." And I smell her hands, and, you know, it's this thing. We try to stay very clean and try to just be the best we can be. And we leave. We walk out of the restaurant. I hold her hand the whole way out. No phones, no nothing. Walk out, walk to my truck. I put her in my truck. I open the door for her. I close the door for her. Actually, I put her seatbelt on, not because She needs me to. It's just I want to connect with her. I want to be like her Prince Charming if I can. Yeah. Because I only have this opportunity for a few more years. And then she's going to be a raging, hormonal, crazy woman for a while, and then I'll get her back later.
Did you hear George's rule the other day?
No.
He said women between the ages of 14 to 20. I should probably blip this out, but I'm saying it anyway, and I'll just cut it. But he said 14 to 24, they should be locked up.
Oh, George. That's just an opinion. Whatever. They're learning new emotions. They're learning new hormones. That's got to be difficult. It's just like when women get pregnant and when women have babies. That is, I don't want to deal with that.
Chloe looks like.
That's got to be the craziest feeling in the world, and I applaud good moms that engage and work on themselves and take care of themselves and take care of their children, take care of their family and stay focused on their family and don't turn their eyes elsewhere. Good job, moms, when you're doing it that way. But anyway, so my daughter and I get in the truck. You know, I make it this event. And so I take her home and we get home and she slides forward on the seat and I see it. Toilet paper. Mm. And I'm like, oh, crap. And instead of being like, ew, what'd you do that for? You silly, why did you not clean that up? I was like, And I grabbed it and I didn't want her to see me get it. So that's plan A. I grabbed it, I tried to crumble up. She's like, what's that? And she saw it. She's like, that's toilet paper. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's not a big deal. And the reason I'm saying that is because I had this experience happen to me when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And it scarred me some. It definitely stuck with me for many, many years. I was very embarrassed by it. There's like three or four things in my life, and that was one of them that just super embarrassed me. And I was like, don't worry about it, baby. It was tucked up underneath your skirt. No one could have seen it. You know, just you're good. Don't worry about it. Dad's got it. I'll throw it away. We're going to be good. She goes, oh, good. I'm glad nobody saw it. Mm. And because what I was doing was I was protecting her heart.
Yeah.
I was trying to make sure that I could keep her in a good balanced state. So kind of going back to the podcast at hand, you know, it's all about helping each other.
Ooh, my nose is whistling. Sorry.
Is it? So it's all about keeping people, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your just everybody you involve yourself with, the people you buy your groceries from, people you buy lumber from, the people you buy fuel from, whatever. Treat them with so much positivity they can't forget you.
Yeah, like, what, kindness kills, or
yeah, kindness kills.
There's another saying that's similar like that.
Well, I have one that's keep your friends close, enemies closer. I live by that one.
I don't like my enemies.
Yeah,
I don't like friends.
So what I mean by that, like Kyle, you've been with me all over the place. Not that I'm recognized, but that I have a lot of relationships all over the place.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you do too. I'm not saying I'm the only one. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that. I watch a lot of Sam does this. We'll go places and he's just so grumpy. He doesn't. If I go to the Starbucks line, right, and I order food.
Yeah, food, how are you interacting with those kind of things?
Yeah, how do I interact with them? And I'm always very upbeat, very positive. There's a certain type of person that I will very much deepen my voice at just to counteract what they're doing.
Oh my God, I weirdly want to see you and Trump together now just to see whose chest gets bigger.
Well, it's not that. It's something else I really don't agree with, but that's their thing. But then at the end of them taking my order, I'm always like, thanks very much. You know how many times they say thank you back?
Mm-hmm.
Never. Never. You have a different experience?
No, I have a theory.
What's that?
They're busy? I think it's your posture.
I'm sitting in a truck in a drive-thru line.
But that's not it. I feel like they're, because every time I've done it, I have the exact opposite. Hmm. I always get thank you, you have a great day, you as well, that kind of, I always get that.
I never get it.
But I think it's because I'm a small person versus you're a very big, bolsterous big body voice. Type.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they feel overpowered and they just.
Well, it's just my
I think
voice.
They automatically also create assumptions. Like when I roll through, our trucks do not belong in a Starbucks parking lot.
That's true.
Just being honest.
Yours is louder than mine.
It is annoying. Wait until I delete it.
Oh, no. Here we go. You hillbilly.
If it don't clatter, it don't matter. But no, but every time I've gone through, because I turn the truck off when I get to the microphone, that way they can hear me. And then when I pull up to the thing, I also turn it off as well, the door. And I don't know. I've never had them say, you know, thanks you too, or like never not say that.
I'm specifically speaking about at the speaker, not at the door.
No, at the speaker, I've had it.
You see, at the speaker, I never get it, but at the door, I'll get it because I think maybe my voice is a bit big when it comes to that speakers. I'll make sure I project my voice so people can hear. That's
it. Could
thing.
Also be that you're just about to see them in a second, and they could be like, "Oh, that's just kind of awkward."
Oh well,
it could be that they're processing it that way.
I just like being polite. Like I taught my daughter from day one to say thank you, and I had a little bit of pushback from somebody else in my life, and they were like, "Why do you always do that?" And I'm like, "Because it's proper."
Yeah,
it's not that I'm. It always gets taken as I'm trying to be perfect, and you know what? Maybe I am. Maybe I'm trying.
Well, you have the expectation of yourself to not necessarily be perfect, but be the best that you could be. That's yes. kind of the motto that we've gone by.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you try that?
So this is actually, I was talking with our friends Jess and Anthony the other day, and they're actually really good friends of Matt and Marissa, and we have just then clicked with them. Mm-hmm. And we've grown a really good relationship with them, and it was interesting. Jess was talking about how she's kind of teaching their daughter, Delaney, proper manners and mannerisms, stuff like that. Yeah. And she understands the concept of like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, but she can only get sir out. So she only says sir instead of ma'am.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool that they're at least teaching her the proper mannerisms to speak with people.
How old is she?
4?
Yeah, she doesn't have a comprehension of all that yet.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And she knows that. She's not saying that it's bad. She was just laughing at it.
Good.
But no, I just thought it was cool because it's the people that we're around and that we're gaining relationships with, they all see life kind of the same way as like, just be the best you can.
Yeah.
You know, don't focus on all the shitty negative things that are going on around you. Just be the best you.
Yeah. And
personal excellence, bitch.
It is. And it's there's a lot of people will say they're doing their best and it's not. They're doing just enough.
Yeah.
You know, I have a saying on that. It's working like you don't care. Mm-hmm. And you're doing just enough to get what you need in life and not giving so much more, because so you remember my I'm gonna read it actually. You remember my Walmart post?
Yeah.
Do you remember what I said?
The gist, yes, but I don't remember the exact because it was really long.
It was very, very long.
And I think I read it when I was about to knock out, so that could have been also part.
So I'm going to give you guys, I wrote this in the middle of, I was in a Walmart parking lot, and I just got dealing with Walmart, meaning selling and training them on our mulch mates.
How is that going, by the way?
Great. They've been every day.
Cool.
Nonstop, rocking and rolling. They started off with a hiccup because they did something stupid, and they did exactly what I told them not to do, but whatever. They'll learn. And I'm sitting in a park. I just got done with them. I'm sitting in a parking lot of Walmart. It's like 9 o'clock at night. I am overwhelmed with emotions because I got like two or three amazing things going on, and it's just, I got a lot coming at me. And so
you and me both.
So I wrote this thing to try to get people to understand that there's a lot of good. With the good comes the bad, but it's not what happens to you, it's how you handle it.
Yeah.
Right? And so here it is. When a man has a dream to create an industry-changing tool that he knows the numbers on and gives up everything he ever had to help an industry that is suffering from labor issues and higher costs, and he finds himself at the biggest retailer in the world training their team on a product that he birthed from blood, sweat, and all of his money and never took a dime from an investor, and definitely grew up without any kind of money. Well, let's just say a new level has been reached, and there's another one, another level right around the corner that the industry is about to see. All I have to say is all the extreme pain, suffering, loss, fearful nights, crap that I took online, all the people that were against us, the mistakes I made, the risks that didn't pay off short term. Every night I couldn't sleep because I had no idea how I was going to make it. Every moment I had no clue how to fix a problem. Every post that no one ever saw. Every night I spent on social media posting and learning. Every comment I responded to where someone was hating on me and my invention and telling me my shirt, my shirt was too tight because I weighed 350 pounds, and then I lost 120 pounds without ever stepping foot in a gym just to show them they cannot beat me. Come at me. You will lose. There are people in this world that find a gear most will never know even exist, nor will they ever look for it. That's my point of this whole, that whole last sentence there. I'll read it again. There are people in this world that find a gear most will never know even exist, nor will they even look for it. From experience, I can tell you it's there. And if you would just push yourself, you will find it, and it will feel better than anything you have ever imagined.
What's the old adage, Nick?
Which part are you thinking?
Drop a gear, disappear.
That's it.
Ricky Bobby.
So I'm telling you, in a race car, it's real. This guy named Tony Stewart did it like in 2014 or 15, something like that, way, way back. He went into the playoffs in racing. There's 10 races in the playoffs. And this guy, Carl Edwards, was like way out ahead of him in the championship. Tony Stewart is the kind of guy that could find a level that none of us understand. And the whole world watched him basically go into these playoffs and shouldn't even have been there. And he stated that to then winning the championship. He literally tied for the championship because he had won 5 of the 10 races in that championship run. He was then crowned the champion. And my point to all this is, and a few people had commented on it and said, yeah, there is another gear. The only way you're going to find it is by being very positive, by being very – so luck is where preparation meets opportunity. So a lot of preparation, a lot of digging. And what happens is you'll find new levels to yourself every day to where things that used to make you very tired, worn out, uncomfortable, now just become very comfortable. And as soon as you find that comfort, then it's time to get uncomfortable again.
Yeah, it's the new normal.
It's the new normal. And so you just keep raising that bar. And next thing you know, you'll turn around like myself, and I turn around and I look and I'm like, how in the hell did I get here? I do know how, but it doesn't seem real because it wasn't a decade ago, you know, I was struggling.
You remember where I was last year?
Pretty
much. Money-wise, life-wise, how I was feeling?
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Just hang on one second.
Uh-oh, the dog's getting ready to bark. I can hear him boofing. Uh-oh.
Look at that now.
Jesus Christ, dude. What a turnaround. See? You can do it.
Yeah.
It's possible. But you got to... Okay, here's
the
key.
But that's just personal.
Good.
Right? Let me show you... If my phone won't fuck off, don't fuck off.
So why he's doing that... All you did was stop making excuses for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you did. And then did you take some really good nuggets from a certain few people? I'm sure you did. That's how we all grow. That's how we do this, is that we learn from each other. I don't know everything, but I can sure tell you that if I don't, I'm probably going to point you in the direction of someone else.
That's a business account with 3 prepayments for this year.
Dang, dude. What a turnaround.
And out of debt.
How does that feel?
Great.
Like, seriously. Make you want to cry?
It did a little bit the other day.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
Because last year I didn't pay myself shit out of Scarlet. I was working like a...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yep,
Like a dog.
And it beat me. And then now this year I can look at it and go, wow, I can still work. I just have to complete the tasks that I've set forth to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still pay myself.
Yeah.
That will last me for the rest of the year on materials and fuel and not even have to think about it.
Yeah. And one day you'll look like that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
You will. You'll get there. I was just showing in my Robinhood account. It's all possible. And you know what I find? I find that the people that are the richest, if you go study them.
Rich is not in the monetary, or the, not what, not monetary, what's the hell, fucking materialistic.
Well, when I say rich, I mean, like, to me, rich isn't Jeff Bezos. Right. Yes, that's ultra wealthy. That's ultra wealthy. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, when I say rich, I mean,
there's rich, uber rich, fuck you money, ultra, ultra wealthy.
Yeah, and then just those guys are untouchable.
And then you're just a god.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much almost on that level.
I want to rub a shiny head. It's a good luck.
But what I mean is, like, I want to get to the point where I don't have to be here every day.
Yeah.
I don't have to be doing the social media every day. I could come in couple times a week, or you and I do the podcast and I'm in Utah and you're here, or whatever, right? Like, I want to have the ability to just not be forced to be somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to have some freedom. I'm far older than you. I've made a lot of different choices than you. I feel like I'm out there. I'm doing really good, but
aren't we all?
We are. But at the same time, I'm just getting started. Yeah. I see all this as we're just at the beginning.
Well, also think about, like, you ever looked at a time scale for the Earth as if it was a one day?
It's crazy.
We're not even a second.
No, we're like a millisecond, nanosecond.
Yeah, that's the thing to think about, is like, I always hear Hormozy say, if you zoom out far enough, does it really even matter?
Nope.
You know, so just take your time and, you know, go to impress the 85-year-old. You're not the, you know, the person next door. Mm-hmm. Keeping up with the Joneses is what kills you.
It is. And, like, I personally have what I call my trophies that I'm after. And I don't care. I don't give a shit. I just did a second ago when you were talking. I texted Gator. I said, what the hell? Because yesterday he said that he was considering flying to Michigan to go buy a Porsche for himself. That I don't want a Porsche. Like, yeah, they're cool, but like, I just want to go with him. Yeah. I just want to fly to Michigan and drive it back with him. Because if I was trying to keep up with him, I'd have a Rolex. I'd have two boats. I'd have a big ass Denali. I'd have a big ass house. I'd have, you know, a wife that made stupid money. His wife makes stupid money, like really good money. My life would look totally different, and I don't care. Who cares? Why would I even care about the Joneses? Like,
yeah.
Here's the other thing in like the landscape industry or just business in general, and I see a lot of these kids do this. I haven't grown ass men. When I say kids, I mean, to me, you're a kid.
Yeah.
You're young. You're not a kid, just so you know. I know that. But you're young.
It's a, I guess you could call it a perspective on reality.
You're a young adult.
Yeah.
Let's say that. Like, I'm a small, big guy. I'm a big guy, but I'm a small, big guy. But a lot of these they're adults, they're men, right? They're like, oh, like I've had 50-year-old men, they're like, oh, I have 76 employees and we do, you know, $10 million a year. And I'm like,
that no math, son.
That math, well, first off, the math doesn't math. And if it does math, you're not making anything.
Yeah.
And then I pride myself on that I have very little, but make a lot. And you've learned this and you're doing it now. It works. Now, I will say this, if one of our team members decides to leave, get sick, injured, whatever, it hurts us a lot more for sure because our team's so small. But it just further proves what I've been preaching.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
it's interesting you say that because, like, I know last year when I got sick and I was able to backfill because I had the resources and the people to reach out to when I was sick to do the landscaping stuff. It was interesting that I had this one person cancel over it. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And she was like, well, I just need somebody reliable. And I'm like, I'm reliable. I had somebody on your property every week.
Yeah.
It's not, it might not have been me, but there was somebody there taking care of all your requests.
Yeah.
And she just turned around. She was like, I need somebody reliable. And I'm like, okay, well, the fact that you care about the reliability versus the health of me is, you know, okay, we're not going to do business together.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at this. Lyle, the guy. So anybody listening, if you go to Mulchmate USA on Instagram, I just put a post out there and it said, one guy, 30 yards of mulch by yourself. I haven't read this whole text. I just read the first line. It says, I can do 45 yards. That's all I read. Single handedly in one day with a trash can on my back and a wheelbarrow.
Wait, who said that?
Lyle.
He's trolling.
Yeah, he's just fucking with me. That's funny. What a
was
dick.
It senior or
junior?
Oh my God.
Junior. Yeah, okay.
Lyle, I love you, buddy.
It's so funny.
You know what's funny? He'll him and Zoe when he picks up Zoe or drops her off to work, he's always listening to the podcast, and I'll hear myself when they send group chat videos. Mm-hmm. I'll just hear myself in the background and I know exactly what he's listening to, so hopefully he's listening to this now.
Oh, I'm sure he is. It's
funny. Lyle.
Lyle. He's a good dude.
Freaking I like trip. Lyle. His birthday's this week.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Man, it's Friday.
Boy, seems like he's living it up. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. All right, well, let's shut down this podcast. Wow, 53 minutes, cool. Awesome. I hope you guys
it's
got some
59.
I know. I hope you guys got some value out of this one. It's kind of a little all over the place, but it's just giving you lots of really cool real-world examples of, you know, our experiences. I know I probably talked more in this one than Kyle. I feel like I talked a lot. I'm sorry.
No, you're back and forward.
Okay, good. I'm trying to keep a good balance there because I got so many stories bouncing around in my head.
I feel like I talk too much.
I do. I feel like I talk too much for sure.
Mm.
So we just sit here in radio silence. I wonder if anybody listened to that. Just listen to Kyle Parks breathe.
Dude, my nose was freaking me out a minute ago. I was like, ooh, that's loud.
That's funny. I don't know if they can hear that.
No, I can. I can hear you can hear it like chirp a little bit.
All right. Well, you guys have an awesome day. Thanks for joining us. We will definitely be recording another podcast right after this. So join us in the next episode of Life in the Fast Lane. We love you. We hope you have an amazing day. Go out there and lift somebody up, and I bet you it makes you feel better. I tell you, giving feels a whole lot better than getting.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
It really, really does. When you truly get away from the societal things that push us into these weird corners. Anyway, check out MulchMate at MulchMateUSA.com or all our different social media platforms, you know, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, whatever else. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check out some of the videos there. I'm trying to put together another video here
ASAP. Just scroll down a little bit, and you'll find all the links. You need to boop, 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 and yeah. Bang, you're good.
So just go follow every single link, and then subscribe, and hit the bell.
And then hit the bell.
And then call Carlson Coaching.
And comment, and then send us an email, and then, I don't know, is there anything else?
That's right. All right, guys, have an awesome day.
Don't miss me too much.
Adios. Ultimate.